I think the key for getting more concerts and more things, I think one needs to really be everywhere in a way. So if there's like a master class, you go. If there's a course, you go. If there's an opportunity to play this small concert in this small village.
Hello and welcome to Classical Music Career Podcast. My name is Yuri, I'm a musician, web developer, and the host of this podcast. My guest today is Yamin Sadi, a young violinist who recently won an audition for the concertmaster position at the Vienna State Opera and Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. We'll talk about how to prepare for auditions, how to practice for performance, how to start a chamber music group, and how young musicians can find performance and recording opportunities. This podcast is created by InClassics, web development agency for musicians. We create beautiful, affordable, and easy-to-manage websites for musicians. Visit us at inclassics.com to learn more. And now, let's dive right into this conversation. Thanks for joining. It's great to have a possibility to talk to you. Tell me, so now you have this new great job. You are so young and you already got like the best job that there is to get, right?
No, I'm very, very, very happy to have to get the job, and it's an amazing orchestra, and I couldn't be happier.
Yaman, how old are you?
25.
You are 25 and you got a concertmaster job in Vienna Philharmonic. This is crazy. So how did it happen? Did you do like a normal audition?
So the audition goes, there are a few rounds. First couple rounds with curtain, so then you play, the normal things in auditions. Plus the excerpts, so there's the Mozart concerto, Romantic concerto, some excerpts, and you lead also a waltz, which is very beautiful, I thought. And then there's the orchestra round, where you play with the orchestra solo. It's many rounds to do, and one needs to learn how to stay calm. It's not so easy. Never mind any audition, it's not easy to stay really calm and just do it.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I guess for this kind of auditions, you don't really prepare just for that audition. For something like this, you prepare your whole life.
I guess so. I guess so. Yeah, at some point you see yourself, okay, and then suddenly you're doing the audition. And then, it's like you forget what all you did before, and it's like this is the moment of the audition. It takes obviously long preparations just to, really feel comfortable and do everything properly for these things.
Did you have this mind, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get it? Or did you just go like and thought like, okay, I'll try and see what's happening?
One day was like this, one day was like this. But mostly with the, how do you say, visualizing that hopefully it will work. Going there with, yes, that you want to get the position, yes.
Well, and it worked out.
Yeah, for some people this doesn't work out. There's no real recipe that works for everyone. For everyone, I guess there's a different, method.
Just recently, I think you released your first like solo CD. I don't know, maybe it's like a stereotypical view, but doesn't it seem like if you get a job in the orchestra, then you are already put in this box of an orchestra musician rather than a solo musician?
I don't think so, not at all. There is always a possibility to play solo, and there's always time when one really finds it. Yeah, some people might see it like this, but it's still different, especially if you get concertmaster position, which is still gives you flexibility to play. You play a lot of solos in the operas, for instance. Yeah, so I think it actually goes hand in hand, other than it goes opposite way.
How does it feel to be leading such a orchestra with such a history and such a name? So you did your first rehearsals now, yeah?
Yes. I did my first rehearsals sitting next to, so first hand, but not leading. From how it feels already, it just feels that it's an orchestra that just is super flexible and just plays so much together. So it's actually, in a way, it's the easiest job, but a very big responsibility. But there is not much to lead because everyone listens very carefully, plays absolutely fantastic. So in that sense, yeah.
For you, the orchestra is not anything new because you've been in Western Divine Orchestra, yes, since you were like 11 years old. So you actually grew up playing in the orchestra.
Absolutely. I find this when you play in different orchestras, there's always things to adjust, sound-wise, timing-wise. At some point, you start to understand it quicker. And I think that time I'm playing at the Divan and so on has helped so much.
How was the preparation of all of the pieces you needed to play during the audition? Did you prepare yourself, or did you have a teacher who was helping you? Did you do some classes with master classes with people from the orchestra? How did you prepare for it?
Well, playing these things are, the first time you look at it at the excerpt and you think, oh, it's easy, and then then you understand it's really not. The thing I did the most was a lot of listening to it, to different recordings, but obviously for the Vienna Philharmonic, because I'm auditioning for this orchestra, so that made a lot of sense. I'm playing for some people and so on. I think it's a mixture of everything. I think one really needs to feel, the most important thing is one needs to feel comfortable playing it in the audition. That's the key for it, I think. And to really understand everything that is there written in the score. This is also a good method to understand why this excerpt. You know, you can really think about it. I mean, you look at an excerpt and you see, for instance, many different excerpts, some of them very slow, and then you really need to sustain the sound and to play in a certain way. And I think when one understands what is the reason of the excerpt, then one really knows how to practice it.
In each excerpt, you need to find the thing that you need to show in that excerpt, yeah?
Like exactly.
The quality of your playing that is
exactly.
needed there.
Exactly. I mean, for instance, if you play a fast passage and you're only concerned about the, not exactly what they're really looking for, if you're playing a slow passage and you're just, you know, not really, how do you say, aware that you need to do these dynamics, sustain the sound in a certain way, vibrato and all of these things, then yeah, one might get lost.
Well, but I'm pretty sure that when you were studying in Kronberg, are you still studying or are you done with it?
Yes, I'm still there. I can't go as often, but yeah, I will stay there for the year.
There were probably no classes with playing orchestra excerpts, say, in Kronberg.
No. No,
so it's a proof that one can prepare by themselves. Yeah, this kind of thing.
I guess so. I think one should play for people. I think, yeah, one should play for people, which is very important. I mean, Kronberg is a special school. Some other places, they do have this thing that you need to play this Stelles.
Okay, so with the orchestra, it's all clear. If we can switch to, for example, your CD that you recently recorded. How does this process happen? You know, from the idea, oh, I want to record this CD, to CD actually being released. Who was the label who recorded it? How did you think of a program for it? How did you find money to record it? And in the end, how was it released? What steps go into this?
As you said, it's many steps. So I was playing some concerts, and then at some point I was approached and they told me, you know, we would like to support you for making a CD. I always had the idea, but the support came out of, you know, nowhere, you know. That was already, you know, that's already a big part of it. Then they asked, what would you like to record? But that's the thing that I already knew. That I already knew that if I want to record a CD, I will record this program. And then I said, okay, I'll record 1, 2, 3, which is, in the beginning, I thought about this Poème Élégiaque. And then I thought, what goes well with it? So that was the main piece for me. And then I was trying to find what goes well with it. And then came out the CD. And then finding the label was through a friend. I asked a friend for suggestions and he connected me with Guido Dreyer, the label. That was another thing. And then as well, all the recording space and everything, that one was also being taken care of. And then it's, you know, to record CD is, you know, it's not such an easy thing to do. First of
yeah.
all, the recording is really not the easiest thing because, you know, you need to think that this stays for life and this can mess with your head sometimes when you record. Then the other thing is finding fundings for CDs. I think the best thing what young musicians should do is first record the CD, which is usually approximately is like budget-wise. I'm only now throwing more or less numbers around. Can vary. I don't know from 3,000 till how much you want. But then once you have the recording, then go with it to labels. I think that's the best thing. Sometimes the labels also, they say, okay, we will take it, or cover the costs or something. But there is always something to find. One also could do the whole recording of the CDs by themselves. I think that's another thing. So you record everything and you can, you know, print it out and do all of these things by yourself. This is also another option.
I guess in that situation, the biggest minus is that you don't have such a distribution channel as a professional label.
That's true, but however you can, I think it's also possible to get some distribution. But you know, there's so many possibilities for people who want to record CDs. It's not only, you know, that you need to always record with the biggest labels or something. Of course, it helps a lot if you record with a big label, but it's also possible, you know, for someone who says, okay, I need a CD in the next 2 months. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, I guess it's more about if you have the idea, then there is no reason to wait until someone will open you some doors and say, okay, come and record in our studio and we will put our yellow label on it and it would be everything exactly. great if you if you wait for that
any label.
If you have an idea, then you just go, you record, and then you figure out how to go from there. But also, especially now with all the social media, you know, like in the end, everyone is their own publisher, and especially for people who already have a big following.
I think it's very important for people to also promote the CDs themselves. It's your CD, and you should also take care of that. I think that's very important. If you want people to listen to it, you also need to do some of it, especially in the beginnings. I mean, at some point you will still need to do, but I think it's very important that one does these things. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think also as classical musicians, I find that we are a little bit behind all of the trends in promotion and marketing. We are often very shy people. Somehow being artist, you feel like it's not a commercial thing, right? You do it for your heart, you do it because you are passionate about it. But at the same time, if you want to be heard, you need to put your time into a little bit of marketing and promotion. And it doesn't have to be aggressive and only push yourself, because I guess if you record the CD and you have 5, 6, 8 tracks there, you can once a week write a little story about the track and why did it end up in the CD.
Absolutely.
And what is behind it and how you feel about this music. And people would love to have this insight from an artist who do it. And then here you have your self-promotion, but also you gave some value to people who love music.
That's the perfect recipe, to give a promotion, but as well to give some, insight and value, as you said. I think that's what one should do. Absolutely.
So CD, I'm just so impressed with you, because being such a young musician, you've done already so many things, you know. And so you also have a chamber group that is performing quite a lot, right?
Ianti Ensemble.
How did that come to life?
Well, that was some years ago, and we played together in Chianti in Italy. And we just played this small tour there. And then back then we didn't have a name. We just wanted to play. And then we played these concerts. At the end, we said, okay, you know, maybe we should become a group. Since then, we have played a lot of... Unfortunately, Corona has not been so nice, because we had 2 tours killed because of that. And, you know, because also we're all somehow busy doing other things, soloing or orchestra. So we really need to divide the time very right. So we work in blocks, and we say, okay, we work in this month and then this other month and this other month.
How do you find concerts for yourself? How do you organize events?
Well, we were very lucky that we had our management, Dominique Citroen, who really helped us from the beginning. She really helped us immensely. And most of it, if not all of it, was organized by her. And then, you know, we just received the Kersches Prize in Holland. So that will also give more concerts. It's a mixture of things, how to get concerts. Yeah. But mostly we got it through the agents.
How did you find an agent, or how did the agent find you?
She was there when we first played in Italy. And she was also one of the founders, so to say. And she also was suggesting we should play together and so on. And we were all absolutely on board.
With your journey in music, it's very clear when you are a special musician and when you have things to say with your music and when you put work into it, then things just happen to you.
I think the key for getting more concerts and more things, I think one needs to really be everywhere in a way. So if there's like a masterclass, you go. If there's a course, you go. If there's an opportunity to play this small concert in this small village, you go. You do everything that comes, everything, and you try even beyond that. And then slowly concerts will start to come. As well, competitions help a lot. They also help. Maybe not as much as in the past, because I guess for some people it still does, you know. It's really depends. There's no one recipe that works for everything, or like you win a competition and then you have your career. I don't think that still exists, but for some people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. It's a mixture of things. But I think that's the best thing to do, is just whatever is there. Sometimes the small concerts bring the big concerts. Like what I learned is like one should play in any occasion, and it's a good experience to know how to perform. And then you meet people there, and maybe the same person who's organizing this concert will organize another concert and as well invite you. Maybe there's someone else. And then you start to meet people. And it is, of course, you need to meet people for these things. You know, if you play for yourself all the time, as you said, if you play only for yourself in the practice room, you need to play for people.
Do you do like lots of things online? Do you do all your social media things? And
I don't do it so much, but I should a little bit more. But you know, I'm a bit lazy with the social media, but I do it sometimes. I do it sometimes, and I think it's important. You know, let's think about it. Let's forget the musical part. Okay, let's put it on the side. Mm-hmm. Let's say this is already there. You play great, and admit it. The problem is, how do you connect with the public? How do you connect mm-hmm. with people? How do you reach them? Let's say if you don't go anywhere and you stay in one place and you don't really share anything, then mm-hmm. how can people know you're actually playing and they like your playing? You know, that's the whole point of it. It's just to reach as many people as possible so that you can play.
If you want to have like an independent career or partly independent career, to be a soloist, a chamber musician, and create your own things and create your own opportunities, I think these days it's almost impossible without big attention to social media, because it's just now the medium how we meet people and how people meet us. It's very rarely, probably, if you are not yet a big star, that someone will type your name exactly on Google, you know, and find out about you. You need to be found by accident in a way, right?
I think it is important. It does help. As again, this is also another thing. It doesn't bring your career on a, how do you say, golden plate. It's really mixture of things for things to happen.
I will go a bit backwards. So when did you start playing violin? Did you always want to be a professional musician?
I started around when I was like seven, late seven, early eight, or eight. But that's late.
Late start. Yeah.
Late. Yeah, I just in the beginning it just started as a hobby, and then very very quickly. And then when I joined the Divan, it was already clear that that's what I want to do.
How did you join that orchestra?
So I met Maestro Barenboim in Jerusalem. It was a Jerusalem festival. There he was. I remember I played fourth violin in Mendelssohn Octet, and it was really amazing people playing. And but I didn't know so much. Who's who? Who's playing where? So I just went there. I played, and I played for him before, because I studied in the Barenboim Said Conservatory, which opened in Nazareth. And then he came for a visit, and then I played. Can't remember what. And then I came to the festival, and then I played, and then I actually asked him that, Maestro, I would like to join the Divan Orchestra. And then he said, and back then I was 10. And then he said, yeah, in some years, why not? But you're still young. And then I told him, if that's the problem, then I'm still young. If it helps you, I can say that I'm 22. And then... And then 1 year later, I joined.
Some people make a fake ID to get alcohol in the shop, and some people make fake ID to get into the orchestra.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I guess when you are passionate about music, then you find your ways to do that music. What is now? So you're 25 years old. You've already done so many things. You got the best job that there is. What's next?
You know, I just started, but it's something that I really wanted, and it's an orchestra that I have huge respect for. And so, you know, hopefully to stay there as much as possible. And I'm happy where I am at the moment, and hopefully things continue to grow and so on. But what is next? I really don't know. You know, it's just, first of all, I really need to learn all the operas and all the repertoire. It's a very big repertoire, and there's so much to learn. That's definitely one thing that one needs time and a lot of effort and dedication to it.
Young people who are still in school and they are practicing, and maybe, you know, we often maybe as musicians are scared to show ourselves to someone, right? Because there is this perfectionism. And you feel like, oh, this is not ready. Like, oh, like if I practice just a little bit more, then maybe I can do it better. And then I will play for people. What would you suggest to young musicians?
I think this is already not too bad to think like this, that you really want to really play perfect. It's already good. But one needs to start at some point. You know, the best thing is just to put deadlines. For instance, if you're studying in a conservatory or a university or whatever, then you just, to make a deadline, you say, okay, I have this couple pieces, and then I will make a concert at this date, and you choose a date that is realistic. But however, not like you say, okay, in 3-4 years. So you put it like a date that is in the near future, and then this gives you a deadline, because without deadlines, learning things is very, very difficult. Because you'll say you can start, and then you'll say, okay, I'll do it later, or something. Yes, I have it more or less. But you really need to learn it. That's the best way. And then you see how the first time goes. Then you put another concert in 2 3 weeks. You put another concert. Then you put another one, just until you feel secure with these things. I think one needs to learn by doing. You did your practice, and then okay, let's test the practice, and then this is the real test. And if you can make these small concerts before you actually, like your first, test would be, I don't know, playing in the Musikverein. It's very hard for it to happen, but also it's very difficult mentally to go from playing in the room to suddenly playing in biggest halls. And I think that's really is the way to do preparations.
Thank you for joining and for telling all this. It's important for us musicians also to share these things and experiences, so others can get inspired and get a plan how to do it.
It's actually really one sort of needs a plan that you want to get from A to B. What do you need to do? But many people don't know what's to be done except practicing. And it's like, let's say this is already a lot of it. It's a big part to practice and to really play well. This is like, without this, it becomes very hard to really go anywhere. But once this is there, then yeah, one should collect these experiences and just go everywhere and play anywhere. Yeah, one starts learning by doing. That's the key.